you may be seated in the name of Jesus. As we're seated, we first want to greet everyone online joining us here today. Thank you so much for setting this time aside to spend your Sunday morning with us. We look forward to sometime in the future seeing you here in the sanctuary to worship the Lord here in this place. Amen. Amen. Good morning to all of you in the sanctuary this morning.
Amen.
We are so honored and thrilled to have you here. Glory to God.
Can I say something before we start?
Yes. Yeah, or you might just start.
Oh, praise the Lord. So you said during the intro, I will call it the intro, that our hearts are the throne. And I think sometimes people get caught up in the day-to-day of life and they forget the purpose of coming to church. It's not just to do your due diligence. It's not just to fit, you know, fulfill a quota, but you're coming to envision a king sitting on his throne. And this king just happens to be you. A king sitting on his throne. And people throughout the kingdom are bringing things for him to judge. Yes or no? Yay, I accept it. No, get it out of here. And so your heart being the throne, you are hearing the words of God. And God, in his infinite wisdom, gave you a right to choose. And so one of the reasons we come to church is to continuously be fed, but we have to choose whether we're accepting and applying what we're hearing to our lives. So I choose whether or not I'm accepting God's word today. I choose whether or not his word is important enough for me to pay attention. I choose whether or not I even come to the house of God, because we love you out there in Facebook land and all those other social medias, but the true full anointing comes from being in the presence of the man and or woman of God who have gone into the presence of God, and they're bringing that presence back out to you. And so that word has more volume, has more power, has more weight when you're there in person. And do you know the word is alive? And it will respect you as much as you respect it. Failure is not in your spiritual DNA. It is not. Impossible is not a part of our vocabulary. Amen. And so the more I sit before the word, the more that becomes a truth to me. So then, no matter what the world may try to tell me, I've already let these truths be presented to me. And having the right to choose, I choose God. Because every time, listen, Satan's kingdom is real, is pressing you 24/7. He's got this network so set up that you don't even realize when he's working against you. All the more reason we have to be determined to receive what God has for us. So I commend you. I commend you out online for tuning in, but I commend you who have decided to come in person. And so then don't let what God is saying to you be stolen by paying attention to somebody coming through the door or, you know, your neighbor behind you singing off key. Everybody smile. Well, nobody know I'm talking about you. But be determined to receive whatever God has for you. And you know the word of God will honor your expectation today. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading at verse 1 from the New Living Translation just to pick up where we left off. Hallelujah. Verse number 1 says, "You should know this, Timothy, And this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. You should know this, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. The King James says perilous times. One of the meanings of the word perilous times are fierce times. Fierce. And so there are fierce, perilous, or times filled with perils, very difficult times coming. And he wanted to let him know that. And he said, for people. And so the reason that the times are fierce is because of the condition of the hearts of the people. Because of the condition of the hearts of the people. Or let me put that just a different way. Because of who people have surrendered their hearts to. Amen. So watch this. He said, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Amen. Amen. And so, as we read this, one of the things that I said is that this whole list of the degeneration of the moral and the integrity of people, the morality and integrity of people, that degeneration can be broken down into three categories that would summarize all of these things. And it had to do, number one, with the love of themselves. Number two, with the love of money. And number three, with the love of pleasure. The love of pleasure. Those three categories, you could sum up all of these things.
Could you say the categories one more time?
Okay.
People are writing.
Number one, the love of themselves. Self-love. Number two, the love of money. And you know, the scripture tells us that the root of all evil is what? The love of money. And the Bible is clear. It is the root of all evil. And so if they love, like this says, they will love only money, only their money, then what's going to be present in their lives? All evil. All evil. All evil. All right, so the love of themselves, the love of money, and the love of pleasure, that just goes with the love of myself. If I love myself, I want to do only those things that please me.
And you know, there are a lot of younger people, and some of them not so young, who just feel like it's not right if it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. That's my barometer. That's my measuring stick. If I don't like it, then it's not for me. Mm-hmm.
Or it's only it's only when it's real and authentic to me,
yeah,
and that is something that I choose to do. Yeah. See, there are some things that aren't comfortable. There are some that but true.
Yeah.
There are some things that are not, that don't feel real and authentic to you, that are godly. And so we have to get away from this idea that I can define what is good, I can define what is right, and I can define what is true by what I like. Because I'm not God. And there are some things that aren't comfortable to me that I have to learn from him that this is right and true and just.
You know, scripture says he'll withhold no good thing from us. And so scripture also says that he is good.
That's right.
So there's no part of him that he'll withhold from us when we look to him, when we trust in him.
That's so good.
When we lean on him.
That's so good.
And sometimes our flesh, our soul has to be retrained into what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes your old friends will try to tell you, no, that's not right. This is how we need to do it. And they'll think it is right because there's a majority, a vast majority, who will say it is right. But usually if the vast majority say it's right, then I need to look at it 2, 3, 4 times.
So understand this. From the beginning, the very first conflict had to do with man wanting to decide for himself what is good and what is evil. Because what the serpent proposed was that if you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. Or another way of saying it, you won't need God because you can judge for yourself what's good and what's evil. You don't need him. And so that was the conflict from the very beginning. And so now, like I said, we can put these in three categories that all had to do with love. Now, Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment is to love who? Man, come on. Am I preaching to the right crowd today?
Yes, you are. Yes, yes.
Come on. So the the first and the greatest commandment is to love who?
God.
Love God. I heard somebody say, the Lord your God. That's more accurate. That's what it says. But to love God is the first and the greatest commandment. And if we come to a time where there are three loves that dominate mankind, you can see God is not involved. Or very similar to what we see today, God's been legislated out. God's been pressed out because I don't have time. And so therefore, if I don't have time for God, then his importance to me is below everything else that I'm making time to do. Secondary. And so you can see some characteristics of this people. They won't love God. The love of God and nowhere in the bunch. And Jesus said that's the most important commandment. Amen. And so last week we talked about our hearts and the importance of our heart. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our
heart.
Come on, with all of our
heart.
With all of our heart. Heart. I believe your heart is the most important part, if you will, of your being, because it is the part of you that you can give completely to him. It is the one offering that God has required of everyone. And everyone is able to give. If I said everybody give $2,500 this morning, some are not able to give $2,500. And the more I move up that scale, the fewer who are able and the fewer who are willing.
That's the biggest.
Come on, man. Come
that's
on.
The biggest
there's some able, but then the willingness drops off dramatically as we move up that scale.
Every time I ask, Pastor, let me pray about that one.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, everybody's not able, but God required all your heart. He said, yeah. You'll find me if you search for me with all your heart. And that's just an offering that everybody can give. That's just a sacrifice. That's the word. That's a sacrifice that everybody can make. Amen. And so the requirement for knowing God and being in relationship with him, he didn't want to make it something that some people could do and other people couldn't. If it was based on your intellect, some people would be naturally better. Come, we don't all have the same intellect.
Yeah.
So some people would be naturally better. If it was based on how much money we have, some people would be able to be better just because they had more money. If it was based on any other criteria, we all couldn't give the same. But it's based on your heart, and we can all give that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so that's why these times are going to be so fierce, because these are people that have no place for God in their heart. Well, if they have no place for God in their heart, who do you think is in their heart? Look at the verse. Can you put verse number 5 back up? It says they act religious. In other words, they go to church. They do things that religious people do. But they reject power. The word that I find most often for this practice of rejecting power that could make them godly is they are hostile toward God. Jesus said it this way. He said, "This people draw near me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me." Amen. Look at that. What did Jesus judge? Not their mouth, not what they said. What did he judge?
Their heart.
He said, "Their heart ain't here."
You know, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing in this passage is, so these are people in church,
mm-hmm.
but God is not in them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they will present their view in such a way that is very convincing. And so we have to know the truth, so that deception does not swallow us up. And so anytime you are so confident about what you think you know about the Word of God, you're treading on dangerous ground, because you'll feel like you know it all. You don't need to go to church. I don't need this. I don't need that. I know what the Word of God says. That's a dangerous position to have. And so instead, having a reverence for our God, every day, Lord,
yeah.
I'm looking to you to fill and fulfill my day to day. I'm looking for the blood of Jesus to protect me even during these fierce times. Your scripture says, no evil shall come nigh me nor my dwelling. Lord, I'm looking for you to give me the right responses, the right words, the right way to show the love of God. And not be consumed by the darkness. Lord, I'm looking for your light to shine so brightly that I cannot stumble or fall.
Yeah.
And so we're looking to him every day, every day.
Yeah.
Now, I know sometimes we oversleep, or sometimes, you know, other things happen. But for the most part, how about we say it like that? For the most part, I'm looking to the Lord every day. He's the beginning of my day. He's the beginning of my day.
Yeah. And so we know that the Word is God. The Word is God. Mm-hmm. And something my wife said that I hope you caught, and in case you didn't, I just want to rephrase it a little bit. She talked about people who think they know all they need to know about the Scripture. People who think they know all they need to know about the Scripture. The purpose for studying the Scripture is to know Him. The Scripture is an image or a picture of Him. And so I'm looking at the Scripture so that I can know Him. So that then now, God said, we read it last week, and we're trying to get to move forward. But God said that the New Testament is, I'm going to write my Scripture on your heart. He said, that's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. I'm going to write, or in place of the word write, I put the word inscribe. Because I see God inscribing with His finger, just taking and writing on my heart and putting His word in there. And that's what God wants to do. Yes. Now, if He puts His word there, and the word is God, then every time I get His word in my heart, I'll know Him. Amen. And I cannot separate Him from His power. Now, this passage of Scripture, the thing that it that should jump out at us is what will distinguish these people that love themselves, love their money, and love pleasure from the people that love God is power. That's what will distinguish the two groups. And so when God writes His word on my heart, there comes a point where from my contact with that word, for lack of a better term, come on, God is a spirit, and He's going to take and write something spiritual on my heart. And when He inscribes that on my heart, I like to look at it this way. Every time I obey it and say yes to it, it's like it's like tracing over it again. Hmm. And have you ever really had to trace over something a lot? And you can, from the other side of the paper, you can see the indentation that's made by tracing over and over and over again. And see, I believe that from the center of my heart, that's where God's trying to get to. But for some of us, there are layers of stubbornness. And every time I complain, I have been hostile toward being open. Every time I complain, about any aspect of my service, I complain about how long the service is. I complain about offering time. I complain about the time of the service. I complain about the songs that they sing, or I'm hostile toward raising my hands. See, some of us think, well, I just ain't feeling that today. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that anytime you are not feeling that, what is it that you're loving more? Wow. See, rather than when it's time, man, if God say lift up your hands, I want to be lifting up my hands. Yeah. And I want to surrender to that. Because if I'm not surrendering to that, and I think, well, it's okay if I don't today. Man, if He was standing right here, what would you do? What would you do? And once you recognize that He sits on the throne of my heart, and so I cannot allow any aspect of my heart to be hostile toward Him. And I do that every time I pray, man. Every time I worship. Every time I read the scripture.
Yeah.
I'm surrendering. I have to teach my heart to surrender. Because in reality, all of our hearts want to love comfort more. Want to love pleasure more. Want to love money more. Want to love it more. I had a situation in my life. I believe I shared this story. But I had a situation in my life where, I told this story. We had hired a contractor. Made a down payment. Rascal, when we cancel, would not refund our money. And I ain't talking about a couple of $100s. All right? Okay. I'm talking about a few $1,000s. And he would not. So now, here's what I said. Oh, yeah, let me call. I know an attorney. Let me call. I'm getting an attorney. And I tell you what. And I said all these things. And God, like, showed me later what was going on. But I said, I'm going to get an attorney, and I bet you what, I'm going to get my money, I'm going to get the money for the attorney, and I'm going to get online. I'm going to make sure you don't get no more business ever in the city of Grand Rapids.
I think you need to clarify that this was not the first contractor in a short
that we had dealt with, yeah.
That did that.
Yeah, it wasn't the first one.
So you was about tied and fed.
It wasn't the first one. So anyway, Right. So if you're a contractor in here, I'm glad you in church.
Amen.
I'm so glad you in church.
Amen. Yes.
All right. So he didn't want to get the money back. And so, I'm going to write reviews. I'm going to the Better Business Bureau. I'm complaining to everybody. I'm going to make sure he don't ever do anybody like this again. And the Lord arrested my attention because of the condition of my heart. Because really, my heart went from just trying to get justice to wanting to punish him.
Yeah.
And eliminate him.
Yeah.
That's murder. Yeah. Honestly. If it was legal, my heart was there.
Ooh, Jesus.
My heart was there. I got a. So the Lord arrested my attention. And he said, let it go. And I said, get thee behind me.
After someone tried to burn you once and the second person come around, they get usually they get no mercy. But I believe this gentleman was born again. He had a pastor that you knew.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have went and said, let me tell you what your spiritual son did. And I just need you to talk to him and tell him, give me my money.
And I went there too.
But so while the Lord was talking to you from that direction, what he was showing me.
Oh, wait, let me finish.
It's a part of the story. It's a part of the story.
All right.
I was just going to say the Lord was sharing.
Because you like
with
to
me.
Jump ahead.
No, I'm going to stay right here, Pastor, right here.
All
right. But the Lord was showing me, you know, the Lord would tell you stuff if you're not going to go and tell everybody's business. Let me start there. And he was showing me that he was already having trouble with money, and he was trying to deal with his heart. So my little tired feelings backed off, but I was further ahead than he was.
Mm.
Like, I don't even know what you look like, but if I ever run across you, but praise the Lord. So God is always merciful, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the Lord arrested my attention. And what he said was, look at your heart. There was a darkness in my heart that wanted to hurt him. And see, these kinds of things can creep into your life when it seems like it's justified because he wronged you. And the reason I had to let it go was to protect my heart. And I said, okay, Lord, I release him. He doesn't owe me nothing. And I prayed for his family. And then I, when I could get around to it, prayed for him.
Amen. At least you've been honest about it.
Amen. I got to be honest. And the reason I said that is because for me, the easiest way to let something go is to pray for people.
Yes.
And I had to be able to pray for him. Or else I would have did one of these numbers. I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. Come on, that ain't God.
Just say amen. You know you have felt that way. Just say yes, Lord.
Right, and I always want my heart to follow the heart of God. And God has forgiven egregious sins against him. No matter what it was.
Yeah.
I let it go.
Yeah.
I'll let it go. So I had to let that thing go because it was infecting my heart. And I came to realize, I said, wow, look at all these things that I fought and entertained and want to do to this man.
Yeah. To ruin him, to stop him from prospering any further. And really, in actuality, that's not our place. It's not. You know, I think, I don't know if it was Isaac or Jacob who went throughout the land following God and kept trying to build a well or dig a well. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been
Isaac.
And every time he would build a well, someone from that country would come and take it over. Mm-hmm. Then he move and build another one, and someone from that region would come and take it over. You know, not once does the Bible say he ever tried to get back at them. Not once does it say he ever tried to call down fire from heaven. None of that. He just kept trusting God, and eventually he built a well, and it prospered. Because every time he built one, that well prospered. Mm-hmm. And so the people of that land would say, oh, we want that. That's in our land. And the world will do you that way. And sometimes you have to swallow your pride and think of it as a sacrificial offering and move on. Yeah. Because their poisoning, your attitude, is not hurting them.
Yeah.
It's only hurting you.
It's
and
poisoning.
You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to remind us, let it go. I need you to walk away. Well, you don't understand. We're talking to God and we're telling him he don't understand. Man. Well, you don't understand what they, like he wasn't there when they did it. He said, let it go and trust him.
Mm-hmm. And so ultimately what I had to say was the same thing that Jesus declared. Jesus said, no man take my life. I lay it down.
Amen.
And I said, he can't steal from me.
That's right.
I lay it down. He can't take nothing from me. He can't take nothing from me. And I trust God to continue the wisdom, the blessing on my life that got the first, whatever it was, will get me another one and more. I ain't concerned about money. God takes care of me.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not a good steward. That doesn't mean I throw money around. That doesn't mean that if another contractor came, I wouldn't bring a lawsuit against him. Amen. It doesn't mean that. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't.
That's right.
I'm just saying, guard your heart. Guard your heart, man. It's the most important a part of your being. It determines. Yeah, the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I'm thinking, ruin him, eliminate him, punish him, that's who I become.
Absolutely. That's why scripture tells us not to judge so that we be not judged. Paul says the same judgment and the same outline and conditions that you lay out for this person, they apply to you too. And so instead, you know what? You can't do me wrong. I am a child of God. You can't harm me. I don't know how this came about, but I'm not depending on you to make it right, because you've never been my source. I'm depending on God to make it right. Amen. Then that person has to deal with God, because you know God does not take it lightly when people misuse and mistreat his people. And I've seen what I believe. I think I've only seen it one time in my whole life, the repercussions of being mean and vile and evil to God's people. You really don't want that for anybody. There is nothing they can do to you to warrant that, because we've all been in that position, and God has shown us his mercy and his grace. And so as I listen to God, as I lean my ear to the throne, and I get my directions from Holy Spirit, it changes my attitude. It keeps my heart in the right vein. And no matter what someone may have tried to do you know God can make it better than it was before they tried whatever they tried? Mm-hmm. And that's what I've got to trust in. Mm-hmm. Now, God is not going to let you take my life. My angels will take you out before you take me out, but that's because that's the way I believe. But other than that, there is no reason for God's love not to be shed abroad to others, because it's been shed abroad in our hearts. Mm. Because I'm trusting God, and because God is my source, then I can love you. I can walk in forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean I'm gonna be a carpet for you. Sometimes we have to love people from a distance, but love them nonetheless.
Amen. 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 And so, that verse 5 that we read, the King James says you have a form of godliness instead of, the New Living said they act religious. The King James says a form of godliness that denies the power or contradicts the power or rejects the power. And so that tells me then that if I don't allow God to write on my heart his word, his ways, if I don't surrender and submit to that, I will not be able to connect with his power. And that's where people miss it. They think that just because I remember a scripture, because I remember by his stripes you are healed, that I can receive healing. But it's not about memory. If I write it on your heart, you don't have to remember it. It's always there.
And you know it, not just memorized.
And you know it. And you know it. Now, with the illustration that God gave me is this. So we were just in a hotel, and we were in Dallas for the week, and we were in a hotel room. And when we went in, we turned the lamp on. Now, you know, the lamp didn't come on. You know one thing that we never say? We never say, I wonder if there's any power in this place.
Yeah.
We check to see if the lamp is connected to the power. And so many people will declare God without power because I never seen nobody heal. I prayed and I didn't see this. Well, wait. wait a minute. Check your connection.
Amen.
Don't declare him without. We can't declare him. He made everything. Why would you declare him without power? We can see his power all over this planet. We know he has power. And so if we plug into it, we know there's power available to us. Hey, and so as God inscribes on our heart, as he writes his word, and I believe every time that you surrender yourself to it, every time you say, Lord, I lift my hand to you. Every time you say, Lord, as I read your word this morning, I ask you, Lord God, to speak to me, to train me in your ways.
Yeah.
Every time I do that, I'm surrendering my heart to him.
Yes.
And every time I do that, there's a deeper inscription. A deeper inscription. And I used this example last week. You know how when the plug is halfway in and it still won't work? And so when that inscription is all the way in, it gives you access to God's power. It gives you access to God's power.
And you know, as the word is engraved deeper and deeper in your hearts, what it will do, God says he's not sharing his throne with anybody. He's not sharing his glory with anybody. And so that engraving, the deeper it gets, the more it moves out the lies, the deceits, the confusion, the wrong identity of who you are. It starts moving all those lies out, and that truth starts becoming a part of you.
Yeah.
Because if Satan can convince you that you are less than what God says, that's a part of a battle that you could possibly lose. Mm. And so God is always wanting to help us understand. And this is so important, not just who he is. See, I've got to know who he is. I've got to know he's faithful. I've got to know he's not a respecter of persons. I've got to know that he has finished all the work that needs to be done. So my healing is already done. My prosperity is already done. Peace in my family. Restoration is already, it's already done. And he will not take back his word. He will not change who he is. For anybody. And so I need to know that for myself, not for Joe Blow down the street, not for my next door neighbor, not for the person I sit next to in church, but I've got to know my God is real and my God is faithful to me. But not just that, because some people, I think Jesus said, even the devil know God is God. But not so not only do I need to know who God is, I've got to know who I am. People will lie to you 24/7 trying to belittle you so that they can feel better or trying to deceive you so that they can get something from you that they don't have but you have. And so I've got to know. You've got to know. Oh, in these last days, you have got to know who you are.
Who I am. My identity. I gotta know. Now, the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, maybe we should just turn over there. Acts chapter number 10. I was gonna quote and just go. Let's see, where am I going to start this? let's begin with verse 34. Now here in Acts chapter number 10, it begins with the Lord speaking to Cornelius, a Gentile. The Hebrew word is goyim, and it just means without God. They have no covenant with God. And so to the goyim, incidentally, the Bible lists people in three different categories.
Only three.
The Jews, the goyim, or the Gentiles, those without God, and the church puts everybody in those three categories. And so you're in one or the other.
Yeah, and it's only three.
Mm-hmm.
Only three. Mm-hmm. There are some people who have this idea that all these different religious sects, S-E-C-T-S, can worship together. That is so far from the truth. We don't worship with people who have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. First of all, we're not worshiping the same God. They don't have a real God. They have what appeases their flesh. It's like, oh, what? There's more than one way to God. That's the biggest lie ever in the whole wide world. There is only one God, and there is only one way to that God. He made provision. And so when people say there's more than one way to God, they're trying to say, well, God needed help. And so God is trying to keep us out, but we know there's more than one way. It would be like Satan telling Eve, oh, God knows that if you eat, and so he's nervous and he doesn't want you to eat. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. One God and mm-hmm. one way to him.
Amen. Amen.
We have no business worshiping with anything else.
Mm-hmm. And so you can find that, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, like verse 32. And it's in the King James, it's translated the Jews, the nations, and the church. Okay. But the word that's translated the nations has to do with those without God. And so anyway, God speaks to Cornelius and tells him to send some men to Joppa for Peter. And he'll tell you what you need to do to be saved. Cornelius had been praying. Now, what? He's without God. Mm-hmm. But he was praying. And God still recognized his prayer and said, now, you praying, but you don't know what you need to do to be saved. He said, send to Joppa, and Peter will come and tell you what you need to do to be saved.
Yeah.
While this is going on, it just shows how God moves. While this is going on, Peter is on this rooftop, and Peter sees in a vision this sheep being lowered with all kinds of animals on there. And he hears this voice saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And then God, the Lord says to Peter, what I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. All right. And so Peter has this vision. Cornelius is sending these men for Peter. And, you know, they get to the house and the Lord, you know, is talking to Peter in his vision. And he says, hey, three men await you. Go with them. And Peter goes with the men and comes back to Cornelius' house. All right. Cornelius explains everything that's been going on and, you know, his prayers and his alms or his good deeds had come up before the Lord. So and then Peter begins to talk. And I just want to focus on what Peter said. Here, starting in verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Verse number 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him, or he that reverences God, he that stands in awe of God. Let me put it in the context of today's message. He that loves God and works righteousness is accepted of him. Verse 36. the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began. Are you behind me? Yes. Okay. Yeah, verse 37. Okay. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All right. Now, here's the point that I wanted to make. God showed Peter this vision. And God told Peter and taught Peter something about himself. He said, what I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. And Peter said, here, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Right? And he also, he told them before, I didn't read it. He said, you know that we don't have any, we Jews don't have any contact with those of you who are Gentiles. But I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So I'm going to talk to you. So in other words, God showed Peter something about himself. And it taught Peter something new about himself. Because you're no respecter of persons. Now I learned for me, I am not going to respect people. So it taught him something about himself. Now my wife was just talking about identity. And so when I learn something about God, it teaches me something about who I really am.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So I don't learn who I am from looking at the choices that mankind has come up with and say, well, let me see, am I this or that? Which category do I fit in? No, I learn about him because he made me in his image and after his likeness. So if I want to find out more about me, then I need to find out who he is. And the more I learn about him, the more I know me, who I really am. You know, I can be deceived in trying to study who I am and allow some kind of wisdom or somebody's somebody's profile or whatever. I can allow those things to deceive me because I'll look at something and say, you know, that sounds good. I think that's how I feel too. I think this describes me. Or I can look at who he is and say, wow, that's not who I am.
Amen.
Right now. But that challenges me.
Yes.
Because that's who I know I can become.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than looking for where I am right now and defining myself by the lowest common denominator, I look at something that's going to force me to elevate, to come up higher, challenge me. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want to define myself by who I am right now. That's saying that I don't need to be any better. I want to look at something that challenges me to be my best self. And not leave me the way that I am.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the way the human person is made up the way God created us. He never created, his original creation was not for us to choose between good and bad. His original creation was for us to only know good, to only know him. But now what they have scientifically done, they make it seem real innocent and not harmful in any way. But social media, yes, God is able, and we're able to use social media to further the gospel. But do you know the enemy has his hands real deep into social media? Because here's the thing. If he can show you something over and over and over and over again, he can show you that same thing through 5, 10, 15, 50, 100 different people, but they're all saying the same thing. If you do not challenge that, it will become a part of what you believe, and you'll think it's true. Deception is not the devil walking up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. Deception is, it's got enough truth in it for you to have believe it. And if you have believe it, it will move in and take over all of your belief. Yeah. And so when we see commercials, when we see different TikTok videos, when we see different videos and they're all saying the exact same thing, that's why I'm not talking about the news reporters, but the news media is dangerous. They will tell you a lie continuously, and if you don't challenge it, you will believe it. And we'll argue, debate, get angry, trying to protect the lie. When it's so far from the truth of God, it's scary. And so when we see these different videos, okay, I'm going to speak for me. When I see these different videos that are portraying a country that is godless, a country that will choose good for bad and choose darkness for light, it can be scary. And the more, and I'm looking at it going, how are people believing this? But people in the body of Christ, people I know, are believing the lie and will argue with you to hold on to the truth, and they're treading on dangerous ground. Don't think that God is mocked. What you reap, you will sow. If you continue to hold on to the lie, you know, sometimes we need to say, Lord, if I'm wrong, if I'm confused, if I've been deceived by anything, show me. Because my whole desire is to walk pleasing before you. To walk pleasing before you. Not to agree with the masses, but to walk pleasing before you. Not to accept a lie that's got just enough truth in it. There, and so then, if I'm believing God, if I'm embracing God, then if nothing else, a signal will go off to say, you know, I'm kind of, that sounds good, but a signal will go off in my heart, say, that ain't it. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. People will march. People will come against. People will hurt and maim other people who will not hold on to the lie. And so in these last days, folks, I can't say this strong enough. In these last days, don't think that you can just go about listening to whatever and it's going to be okay. Amen. It's just not. These are dangerous times to be embracing a lie and tuning God out, because if you're God's child, he's not going to let you just embrace the lie. He's going to tell you, But then you got someone else who is sold out to the lie that you have given credibility to, and they're telling you, no, this is the way it is. God is saying no, but they're saying, yes, this is the way it is. No, you misunderstand. No, God, see, these are different times. God is not expecting. God is saying this is okay. God is not. God does not change. Amen. Dark is still dark. Right. Light is still light. Hatred is still hatred. Love is still love. Murder is still murder. Preserving life is still preserving life. We have to make the right choices and not give in to deception.
Yeah. Yeah. The scripture tells us in Proverbs to guard your heart.
Yes.
One translation says, above all that you guard, yes, for out of it flow the issues of life.
Yes.
Out of your heart. So our heart is so very important. What issues forth out of our heart should be what God has inscribed on
there.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
But if there's hatred and sedition and strife and bitterness, if all of that is what's flowing out of your heart, who's been writing on your heart? So that's why this whole ministry of meditation is so important.
Yes.
Because when you meditate, that gives your thought life your imagination something that is consistent with godliness, that will be the thing that's inscribed on your heart.
Yes.
You know, in the Psalms it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Yeah. Let it be acceptable. Now, my whole problem with that contractor was the meditation of my heart. Yeah, that's so important for us.
And that being acceptable unto God gives you free access to his presence. That's what we want in all of this. I want the presence of God in me, on me, surrounding me, upholding me, protecting me, yeah, all of that. But if my meditation is different than God, it's not God blocking me out, it's me blocking me out. I can't hold on to the world and hold on to God at the same time. Mm-hmm. One or the other has to go, because God has given us all that choice. And just because you choose does not mean it's right. What does the word say? That's what I'm going to meditate on. And Holy Spirit, who always leads and guides us into the truth, will hold our hand and walk with us every step.
Yeah.
Every step.
Yeah.
He leads and guides us into the truth.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, Lord God.